Welcome to What the Paper Said, in which I, Patrick Crozier, skim through the Times from 100 years ago, read some of the articles, and comment on the ones I find interesting. In this episode, the week ending the 14th of October 1923, the failed politician known as Winston Churchill tries to wriggle out of the blame. But first, stuff that piqued my interest this week. There's a rate strike in Poplar. Trotsky has been invited to speak at next year's Durham Miners' Gala. There's been an attempt at a profile of US President Calvin Coolidge, which has been somewhat hampered by the fact that he never says anything. There's been an ongoing correspondence about coloured people, as they put it. A George Bernard Shaw play has opened in London, which runs over 3 nights. Barrow is nearly bankrupt. And The Spectator magazine has introduced a life membership scheme. Fraser Nelson, I hope you are listening. Winston Churchill has got another book out, or more accurately, the latest volume of the same book, which will become known as The World Crisis. The Times is publishing extracts, and the latest series deal with the Gallipoli campaign. The Gallipoli campaign was an attempt to... Well, I always understood the aim was to knock Turkey out of the war, but it may have been just to open up the sea route between the Mediterranean and the Black Sea. Anyway, it began in March 1915 with an attempt by the British and French navies to force a passage through what are known as the Dardanelles. When this didn't work, troops were landed on the northern shore known as Gallipoli. They got bogged down, and in January 1916 they withdrew. Something like 50,000 Allied troops, mainly British Empire, died. Churchill was the First Lord of the Admiralty, the politician in charge of the Navy at the outset of the campaign, and when it faltered, was forced to resign. In discussing the plans for the campaign, he says this. This is from Wednesday, the 10th of October. At no point did lay or civilian interference mingle with or mar the integrity of a professional conception. I write this not in the slightest degree to minimise or shift my own responsibility. So you're just a passive observer, eh? An amateur who recognises his ignorance and defers to the professionals. Bollocks, Winston. This was your baby, and you browbeat the experts into doing your bidding. Not unknown amongst politicians then or now. I can be fairly sure about this. In the Second World War, In the Second World War, the head of Britain's forces was Field Marshal Allenbrooke. In the edited and published version of his diaries, he outlines how night after night he would be summoned to see Churchill, who would have some madcap scheme on his mind, and would press it as forcefully and as eloquently as only Churchill could. And night after night, Allenbrooke would have to talk him out of it, knowing that if he failed to do so, Britain would fritter away her forces and lose the war. The tragedy is that Britain had no Allenbrooke in 1915. Well, it did, but he was a major in the artillery on the Western Front. The operation began with an attempt to sail up the Dardanelles to Constantinople, or modern-day Istanbul. Churchill has this to say about that operation. It was good to go as far as we did. Not to persevere, that was the crime. I doubt it. We'll never know for sure, of course. At the time, the Times' military correspondent Charles Accord Repington, always an astute commentator, was doubtful, or at least as doubtful as he could be, and I am happy to accept his judgment. Anyway, that's all for this week. I aim to have something up next week, but I promise nothing.